Blog Talk Radio.
Informed, not inflamed. Sports.
And hi, everyone. New allegations about the Patriots. The last players cut, and where will some of them go? And, of course, we need our Tebow update and a look at all the games and how they're going to affect your fantasy world this coming weekend. Our final before-the-season Super Bowl predictions you will also hear. Hi, everyone. It is Thursday, September 10th, 2015, the first week of the NFL season. With me, as always, is Eric Snyder, my football expert. He is the author of a book on the Raiders and Raider Nation. You can also hear him on the Power Hour on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 in Las Vegas. Boychuk, welcome.
I'm so excited. Thanks, John. Thanks for having me on. This is the one. I mean, this is the one time of the year when the Raiders are still in first place.
Well, we'll talk about that because we're going to cover that game a little bit later on. But let's go to some of the news. More allegations resurfacing this week against the New England Patriots. ESPN's Outside the Lines aired an investigation that said the old Spygate scandal was much worse. The Pats had allegedly shot more videos of other teams than was previously mentioned. Many of those videos allegedly were destroyed with the NFL's okay. And the report says the recent Deflategate punishment was payback for letting the Pats off the hook for Spygate. The Pats, of course, denied all this. Boychuk, what are you hearing?
Well, I'm hearing on both sides, and my sources tell me that there's legs to this story on both sides. It doesn't help the Patriots that there was supposedly between the years 2000, for the listeners, and 2007, there were 40 games where the Patriots sent some low-level coaches, low-level employees into the visitors' locker room, obviously always at home games, to get play sheets. And Eric Mangini, who you might remember, people might remember him as the old coach of the New York Jets and Browns, who's now an assistant with the San Francisco 49ers, didn't deny it when asked, when you work with the Patriots, you know, did this happen? He goes, I really don't want to comment on it. There's things that I did that I'm unhappy about. That doesn't help the situation. What I find is the irony in the timing of this whole investigation coming out. The Deflategate thing kind of went to bed for a little bit. Tom Brady beats the NFL, and then this thing comes out. So I find it kind of, you know, the conspiracy theory type thing. The real story here is in this Outside the Lines investigation, John, and I know you follow this religiously, Roger Goodell is really a big player in this whole thing in that he destroyed evidence and he destroyed tapes and he had things shredded that would have put the Patriots in really the Armageddon of hell in the NFL as far as fines and suspensions. So we have to follow this story. We'll see where it goes. But again, what really concerns me is the level of dialogue about the off-season issues are really taking over what's really happening on the field. And I've never seen a time in my 35 years of being a fan and covering this league something like this kind of phenomenon.
Okay, let's go on the field because after our last show, there was a lot of cuts that were made by teams. I'll let you go through some of the ones that you think are interesting. What was interesting to me was how many running backs, good running backs, got the axe. Like we said last week, this is definitely a passing league now.
Oh, absolutely. Monte Ball getting the axe from the Denver Broncos was, to me, the biggest surprise. That was just one of the guys I could not believe, first-round pick out of the University of Wisconsin. He had a productive rookie season. He gets cut. Mm-hmm. You see Terrence West get traded out of Cleveland, goes to the Titans. I mean, you see some big-name guys. Trent Richardson, a guy who was a first-round pick by the Browns 3 years ago, goes to the Colts. He doesn't even make it to the 75. He gets cut by the Raiders. So you're seeing some big names going. And they're not getting picked up anywhere, some of these guys. That's what concerns me. Maybe there's injury issues. There's a lot of head case issues in some of these guys. The bottom line is the NFL isn't right now the league that's the NFL of the 2015, this era, John, is not so married to the fact that I signed a guy for a big contract. We got to keep him. If you stink, you're gone.
You are listening to The John Daly Show. You can follow all of our sports stuff on Twitter and Facebook at John Daly Sports. We're talking with Eric Snyder. He's the author of a book on the Raiders and Raider Nation. You can also hear him on the Power Hour with Paulie on Fox Sports Radio 1340 in Las Vegas. Okay, so we talked about that. Okay, we've got to do our Tebow fix. Where is he going? It looks like ESPN now, but I thought someone might take a chance on him with a lesser contract. In other words, giving him a contract with no guarantees. What are you hearing?
Well, I was totally wrong on our show last week. I said the guy was going to make the team. I thought he did enough to make the team, at least in a situation on third downs or when the 2-point conversion is going to be so valuable in the NFL and a team like Philadelphia. What concerned me is Chip Kelly's press conference the other day where Kelly said he just wasn't good enough to make the team. Well, you should have let this kid know that. He deserved that. He traded Matt Barkley, which led it to Arizona, which led everyone to believe Tebow made the team. But then you bring in a kid at the University of Miami. You bring in Josh Johnson. You bring in all these guys in that are really rejects and been cut three or four times in the league. Stephen Morris is a kid out of the University of Miami who was cut by Jacksonville. He's now signed as the third-string quarterback, but they're not married to him either. Where is Tebow going? Tebow's out. Tebow's actually going to be doing the SEC Network this weekend on ESPN. And the bottom line is he was told by the Eagles, inside information, breaking news, if you change positions, a la with Terrell Pryor made the Browns as a wide receiver. Okay,
yeah.
Hines Ward, let me give me time on this. Hines Ward was a great quarterback at the University of Georgia. All right?
Absolutely.
He changed position, had a very, very prolific career with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Tebow refused to do it. He said, God told me, quote, God told me I was going to play quarterback. Well, yeah, maybe in a flag football league, Tim, but not in the NFL.
Okay, let's go over some of the key games for your fantasy sports. Give me players that you would pick for this week coming up. Start with the quarterback.
Aaron Rodgers. I'm not enamored with the Bears defense. You and I have talked about this off the record, off the phone. That defense is just is putrid. And I don't know if they've done anything to really upgrade it. I love John Fox as a coach. He's a defensive-minded guy, but you can only, you know, you really can't make chicken salad out of you-know-what. Chicken, I'm not going to mention the word. We can't do it, but that's what it really is. So I like Aaron Rodgers. I like Tom Brady tonight. I think Pittsburgh's beat up. Pittsburgh's a beat-up team, both on offense and defense with suspensions and injuries. I like Brady. I like Rodgers. And that's my two fantasy guys I would really go with that I feel strong about in week one. Running back, I love Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson told Marshall Faulk, John, that he's going to get 2,500 yards. And you know what? Why not? I mean, is it possible? Yes. Will it happen? No. But here's a guy with a huge, hate to use cliches, chip on his shoulder. He's going against the 49ers on Monday Night Football. I love this guy in fantasy. And I also like LeSean McCoy against the Colts defense. If he's healthy, they say he's going. Rex Ryan said he's starting for the Bills in week one. So those are my two running backs.
Okay, wide receivers.
You know what? Wide receivers, I love Dez Bryant. What, you're a Giants fan. Have you ever seen through attrition and injuries, have you ever seen a defensive backfield so decimated as the Giants?
No, absolutely. I mean, they've lost like five guys, season-ending injuries.
Right, and we don't like excuses this time of year. And the positive out of the Giants, not to digress, is that they're probably going to get a new deal with Eli Manning, which makes a lot of Giant fans happy. He's a good quarterback. And they'll probably announce that in the next couple of days. They'll make him a Giant forever. But he's not going to help their defense this weekend. I love Dez Bryant. I absolutely, if you have Dez Bryant, I love him. Okay, I like Jeremy Maclin. I like Jeremy Maclin of the Kansas City Chiefs going against the Houston Texans. The Texans have some problems. I watched Hard Knocks, all five episodes on HBO, and there's some problems in that secondary. And I really believe that the Kansas City Chiefs and one of these teams under the radar that's going to surprise some people. Not really surprise some people. They've been good under Andy Reid. But the bottom line is last year they were one of the only teams in the history of the NFL to not have a touchdown from a quarterback to a wide receiver. That could end quickly in week one.
All right, tight end.
Tight end. Okay, here we go. Travis Kelce of the Kansas City Chiefs is someone that and I play fantasy football, that, wow, you take him in the high round. I love this guy. I love Kelce. You're going to be on, people are going to talk about Jimmy Graham, Antonio Gates, Gronkowski. I like Travis Kelce. I'm going off the grid a little bit. Any of those other three guys you just mentioned, Graham, Gronkowski, and Antonio Gates, love them.
Cool. How about a kicker?
Okay, you ready for this one? Sebastian Janikowski.
Okay.
I think the Raiders will do enough to get into scoring position. But one thing I noticed in the preseason, and I don't take the preseason, you know, I don't take it very, I don't put a lot of onus on it. But the Raiders had a great time moving the ball from the 20 to the 20, but they couldn't score. Jeff Janikowski had a phenomenal preseason, and he's a good kicker anyways. I like him.
What defense do you take?
Seattle.
Okay.
Tough game. Seattle goes against the Rams, and the Rams always give them a tough time,
yeah.
Especially in St. Louis. But I love the Seattle defense. And I love the, here we go again, and I'm going on a limb on this one. I'm a big, big fan of the Arizona Cardinals defense. They're playing week one, the New Orleans Saints in Arizona. Okay? I still like that defense.
You're comfortable with their defense, the fact that their head coach is now, or their defensive coach is now the Jets head coach?
Yeah, and the reason why he's a Jets head coach because he ran such a great defense in Arizona. They just moved the next guy up, and there's a name I know you're familiar with, and a lot of listeners are. His name's Patrick Peterson. Mm-hmm. I mean, this kid is, in my opinion, in the same level as Darrelle Revis and Richard Sherman as far as a defensive cornerback.
Yeah.
Watch him on Sunday if you get a chance. If you guys got DirecTV in the Red Zone channel, I won't be surprised if Patrick Peterson has a pick six or makes a big play against a very good quarterback in Drew Brees.
All right. Now, if you're in a last man standing pool, what team do you pick this week?
What a tough week. You and I talked about this.
Yeah.
This is such a tough week to handicap. But I have two teams I'm looking at. We talked about one earlier. I love the Dallas Cowboys at home against the Giants. I just don't think – I know you love the Giants, but
yep.
we're betting with our heads now instead of our hearts.
Absolutely.
And I just don't think the Giants have enough. I'm sorry, John. I don't think the Giants have enough on defense against that offense. I mean, especially if the Dallas can get their running game going. And here's another one. No one's talking about this game. You just talked about the Todd Bowles. It was Arizona's defensive coordinator is now the coach. Mm-hmm. I love the Jets. I was just listening this morning to the Dan Patrick show here, and they had a guy named Ross Tucker, and he said, you know what? He's filling in for Dan Patrick. And he said, I can't remember a team, and I'm a huge Cleveland Browns fan, that has worse skill position players in the history of the NFL going into week one. I don't think in New York or New Jersey, I don't think the Browns have enough to stop the Jets. The Jets, Ryan Fitzpatrick, I'm not saying he's that much of a downfall from Geno Smith. He might be an upgrade. I like the Jets. I like Dallas in my last man standing.
All right. You're listening to the John Daly Show. You can follow all of our sports stuff on Twitter and Facebook at John Daly Sports. We are talking with Eric Snyder. He is the author of a book on the Raiders and Raider Nation. You can also catch him on the Power Hour with Pauly on Fox Sports Radio 1340 in Las Vegas. Okay, let's run through some of the games. Pats and Steelers tonight. I think you're siding with the Patriots in this one.
I think a lot of people are. I'm in a couple last man standing pools around Las Vegas, and I've seen some of the picks so far on some of the boards, and there's a lot of New England action going on, and even the sports books here in Las Vegas love New England. Again, they're the defending Super Bowl champions, and Tom Brady's going to come out tonight, and I think he's going to say, you know what, my balls aren't deflated, both on my body and in this game.
Speaking of which, how much do you think the television network, I believe CBS has the game tonight, or is NFL Network? Who has the game tonight?
It's NBC. It's Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels.
How much are they going to do on the fact of what the NFL is doing now to make sure the balls are protected and no one can deflate them?
Well, I really hope they use it as a backstory. I mean, journalistic-wise, I would think that you really want to focus. If NBC, the producers, are smart, they really want to focus on the game in the season. I think we're all, even in the media, I think the listeners, the fan bases around the United, we're all tired of Deflategate. Aren't you, John? It's a nine-month thing. It's horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, and I think they'll bring it up. You'll have Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com as part of the NBC crew. He's their journalistic guy. He's their NFL insider. He'll bring it up. But I really hope they use it as a back burner and really focus on the game. But you're right. They'll bring it up. Because it broke, and they have to. They have that right to do that. But to answer your question, they'll bring it up. I hope they don't beat it to the ground.
Okay. And one of the things we're going to check on after the game is you said this could be the most watched football game in the history of the NFL.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. We talked about in the show last week. You said, you know, do you think the interest in the NFL is waning a little bit because of all the off-field issues? And I said, I thought that because when we started the show off today, there's so much talk off the field. But again, you look at the ratings for the Hall of Fame game; it's astronomical. I mean, if you're running the NBA and the NHL and you're seeing that the Hall of Fame game gets the same ratings as your playoffs do, you're scratching your head and you're saying, "What the hell are we doing?"
Yeah.
So. Yeah, tonight it starts, and you got a marquee matchup. I mean, if you want to look at it historically, the Pittsburgh Steelers are the team of the decades, and the New England Patriots are the team of this era.
Yeah. All right, so you got the Pats tonight. Let's go to Colts and the Bills. I think this is going to be a fun game. I definitely want to see what Rex Ryan is going to do. The fact that he's got now a running quarterback all over the place, I think it's going to cause some problems for the Colts. I kind of like the Colts in this, though.
So do I. I have to go with the team that showed so much progress over the last few years. I think you know, we talk about all these other great quarterbacks, and then Russell Wilson getting a big contract, and Cam Newton and Phillip Rivers, but Andrew Luck, he's due for a big contract, and we're doing our show next year. You're going to hear numbers that are astronomical. I love the guy. I love the fact that they had, remember this, they added Andre Johnson, who still's got skill from the Houston Texans. He's a perennial Pro Bowler, and Frank Gore, running back from the San Francisco 49ers. I like the Colts.
Yeah. Dolphins and Skins, this is going to be interesting. Two teams, we just have no idea where they're going. Thank God I think the Skins have figured out it's not RG3. So at least they've got a little bit of stability going into this game. I actually like Kirk Cousins because the game's at home. I think I'm going to pick the Skins as kind of a mild upset.
You know, it's funny. I think the same way you do sometimes, and that could be scary. But the matchups this week, and you're going to go through them. I don't ever remember a week one that was so hard to just forecast it, prognosticate. You look at any of these games we're going to talk about. You got the Dolphins and the Skins. The Skins are at home, but can the Dolphins go in there and win? Yes. I'm going the other way. I'm going with Ryan Tannehill and the Dolphins. I've heard nothing. I mean, John Clayton told me that the Dominican Sue is just tearing it up in that Dolphins camp. And that's a guy. This is a team that has two consecutive 8-8 seasons. Okay? Mm-hmm. With a top 15 defense. Does the Dominican Sue make him a top 8 defense? Absolutely.
He's
one of those guys. I like the thought. I love Ryan Tannehill. I love looking at his wife better. I mean, that's one of the – you talk about Gisele Bundchen. Listeners, go on, and I'm not telling you to do some internet stuff, but take a look at what this guy's wife looks like, okay? So, and hopefully they show a picture of her, and I'm not like an idiot, but she and he's a great kid. And look, another guy who's on the con. Here's a guy also. Look at that 2012 draft, okay? You got Russell Wilson. You got RG3 and Andrew Luck. Tannehill was taking that draft also. And you know what? Yeah. He's having a pretty good career.
Yeah. And they've signed him to a long-term deal, so they're going to stick with him. So that's good. Okay, let's talk about the Ravens at the Broncos. And I'm going to add this in here just so you, because it could be a factor. I'm actually going to be at Ken Singleton's home in Baltimore watching this game with some other celebs because we're going to be at the Cool Kids Celebrity Golf event. I'm going to Periscope it, so you got to follow us. One of the celebs going to be there, Lydell Mitchell, great running back for the Baltimore Colts in his day. So what I want to know is, will me being in Baltimore have an effect on this game that's in Denver?
Well, you'd be the only guy with teeth. I mean, Baltimore's a great city, aren't we? Well, you know what, John? You just added a lot of class to that room. But Lydell Mitchell, number 26, I mean, do I have time to tell a great story? He tells a story of Bubba Smith. When he was in that famous game against the Raiders, the Ghost of the Post in the 1977 playoffs. And he said it in the third quarter, Bubba Smith sacked Kenny Stabler. And a bomb in the pile, and Bubba Smith, famous defensive end, people might remember from the Police Academy movies, he's in the bomb of the pile. He's on top of Stabler, and he says, "Damn, Kenny, what'd you do? Go out and get drunk last night?" He goes, "Hell no. Bubba had me a few at halftime." And Faber used to have a flask of Southern Comfort in the locker room. And now that's the way they played back. And Lydell Mitchell will tell you these stories when you sit down with them. That's the way the NFL was back in those days. Could you imagine nowadays that story came out? There'd be fines and suspensions and groups. But no, you're going to have a great time with these people. Is Ken Singleton still doing the Mets?
No, Ken Singleton's actually, he's broadcaster for the Yankees. So he's still
lives
in the
area. Okay, I'm
sorry.
Yeah, he was one of the New York teams. I remember him playing. What a great good. You're going to have a great time. And of course, to lead into that game, that's an afternoon game here on the West Coast, so it's obviously
it's a late afternoon game in Baltimore.
Yeah, it's a 4 o'clock game where you're
going to
be out, and you know what? I like the Baltimore Ravens. There's something about this team. I love John Harbaugh. I like the edge they have. I'm a Flacco guy, and I just think they have enough on defense, and we talked about it last week. I think the Denver Broncos are one of these teams that I think is going to take a little bit of a downslide. I like the Ravens in this game.
Yeah, I like the Ravens also. Yeah, I do too. Bengals at the Raiders. I know this is near and dear to your heart. I've become a very big Raiders fan, so I think the Bengals are going to have a tough time. Bengals don't seem to usually do well on the West Coast anyway, but so I'm going with the Raiders in this one.
So am I. And if you heard me on the Power Hour with Paulie Howard on Fox Sports Radio, and you've heard me the last 10 years, I very rarely pick the Raiders to win an opener, but there's something about this team. I mean, if you look at all the pundits out there, they're talking about Khalil Mack besides J.J. Watt being the co-defensive player of the year. Phenomenal preseason. Again, I don't put much in their preseason. I think the Raiders are going to come out. I wouldn't be shocked if they won this game like 27-13. The Raiders' defense is much improved, and this is the kind of game that I think that Coliseum's going to be fired up. New regime, Jack Del Rio's good. The great coaching. I think a very good coaching staff the Raiders have. I like the Raiders in this game.
And, of course, you never know. I mean, the Bengals could rip off 30 points for all we know just because it's game one. It's game one of the season, of the opening.
John, you follow the Raiders the last 12 years. If they lose, nothing shocks you. So.
Yeah.
But, like I said, to start the show off, we're still in first place at 0-0.
All right. Eagles at the Falcons on Monday night. This is intriguing to me because – I just want to see what Chip Kelly's going to do now that he's, like you were talking about last week, he's got control of everything. And the Falcons, to me, I just don't understand why the Falcons aren't a better team.
Defense. They went out and hired Dan Quinn, who was a defensive coordinator of the Seahawks, to upgrade that defense or offense. I mean, they're loaded. Roddy White, Julio Jones, Matt Ryan, I think, is a very serviceable quarterback. Matt Ryan's in that same category as Andy Dalton, who the Raiders of the Bengals. A guy that does very well during the regular season. Kind of falters in the big games, but one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the league. They have a great offense, and they have no defense. Their defense was ranked in the low 20s last year, and it cost them. It cost Mike Smith a very good head coach's job. So that being said, you have a team with no defense and hopefully improve going against just a juggernaut of an offense. I mean, if you watch the way Philadelphia, the top five offense, was last season, and there's nothing to say to me without DeMarco Murray in that backfield healthy. I love Sam Bradford. I've always liked this guy when he's healthy as a quarterback. Mm-hmm. I don't see why I can't put a 30-burger on them on Monday night and win the game. I like the Philadelphia Eagles.
All right. Those are the games that I kind of pick. Any game that I didn't pick that you have a special feeling for?
I do. Here's the most intriguing game on the schedule to me. On the schedule this weekend is the Detroit Lions at San Diego Chargers, because the Detroit Lions are, I think, one of these teams that, you know, 11 wins last year. Stafford's, again, in the Ryan and Andy Dalton category. A guy does great during the regular season, puts up the stats. Megatron, Calvin Johnson, probably one of the top receivers in the history of the game when it's all said and done. Against a Charger team that I think is much improved and is probably going to win, as much as I hate to say this, because I hate that team more than any team in sports, but reality is reality. I think that the Chargers are going to win the AFC West. I think that's a very intriguing game, and I think that's going to be one of these. You and I remember the old AFL in the 70s whenever those games were 35-31 between the Raiders and Chargers. This might be a shootout. I like that game, and I can't pick you a winner. That's a toss-up.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just usually the Lions, you know, leaving the dome and heading to the West Coast. Usually, if I had to bet, I would bet Chargers.
Oh, I would too. But Jim Caldwell, their head coach, said if we're going to get out of this malaise of winning 10-11 games and always losing on the road, it's got to start now. We have to win these games on the road. Teams that win on the road, all of the Patriots and the Seahawks, all your Super Bowl champions win on the road. Okay, if you can't win on the road, if you're 4-4 on the road, and you're 3-5 on the road, and you're going to the playoffs, there's a good chance you're going to lose on the road in the playoffs. That's a fact.
All right, we are hours away from the first regular season game of the NFL season. So, final picks for the Super Bowl. I've got the Seahawks beating the Colts.
Well, you know, you're going to be in Baltimore with Ken Singleton and Lydell Mitchell, and you're going to be in a town that's such just a rich tradition of sports with the Orioles and just the history there. And obviously, the Baltimore Colts. I remember when the Colts moved to Indianapolis. You know, the old Colts marching band would sit in Memorial Stadium on Sundays, empty, and play the Colts theme song for years.
Yeah.
Afterwards,
yeah.
I mean, that shows the loyalty there. Do you know? I absolutely agree with you.
Really? Wow.
I absolutely agree. I think the Seahawks picking up Jimmy Graham, huge. They didn't have. I mean, Zach Miller was their tight end, but you're picking up one of the top tight ends in football. Yeah. You already have a monster defense. I love Russell Wilson. I love Pete Carroll. I don't like what he did to USC, but I like him as a coach in the NFL. And and the Colts, why not? You know, the AFC is you're going to have your usual suspects up there. You're going to have, if you have to pick your playoff teams, probably Denver is a wild card. San Diego wins the division. You're going to have Pittsburgh, Baltimore, New England, and the Colts. And I think Andrew Luck's going to make a statement this year. I'm with you. I don't have any argument with you.
Okay. Just one last thing before we go, and I didn't even talk to you about this, but week one to me is it's cool, it's interesting, but it's not a harbinger for what happens for the rest of the season. Do you kind of look at this and just kind of say, okay, well, let's just see what's going to happen?
Yes and no. You only play 16 games, and if you look at the history of the league, the teams that start out, I'll tell you why it's important. Teams that start out 0-2, I believe if you're 0-2, you have a 27% chance of making the playoffs and a 9% chance of making the Super Bowl. So you lose that first week one game, and then you go into next week, you're 0-2. Now you'd be shocked how many teams don't make the playoffs at 0-2. Now, it's one thing that's great about football, and we love it so much, and the instant gratification society that we have, and hear me out on this, is the fact that Vince Lombardi had a great line. He said, you could lose 4 in a row in Major League Baseball and win the pennant by 15 games. You lose 4 in a row in the NFL, and there's coaches looking for jobs probably at the end of the year. So it's important. Every game's important. So, yeah, is it a harbinger? Can you lose the first game? You don't want to lose that first game and lose that second game because then you're in trouble.
All right. You're going to be watching Red Zone. Are there any games you'll definitely be concentrating on, or are you just going to be watching them all?
Watch them all. Okay. In my man cave, I have the Raider game on in the afternoon, obviously, because I'm a Raider junkie. And then I'll have the other games on, and I think it's great. Finally, if you have a minute, I never understood why the NFL always cowtailed to the U.S. Open tennis. I love tennis. Great stories this year, Serena Williams. It's a great sport. And it's a major. But why? Remember every year, John, of opening week, the NFL would never have afternoon games because they give in? Yep. Well, finally, Roger Goodell did something smart and says, why are we giving into the U.S. Open? Let ESPN have it. We'll put the Ravens on against the Broncos. Oh, yeah, and then we're going to have the Chargers, Lions, Bengals, Raiders, and the other 4 o'clock game on the East Coast, believe it or not, is the Titans at Buccaneers. You have Marcus Mariota against Jameis Winston. Yeah. I promise you, any one of those 4 games is going to have a better rating. Even if it's Novak Djokovic against Roger Federer in the final, which would be intriguing, the NFL is smart. You never take away your product and say, you know what, let's give another sport it's due time. I remember, real quick, I remember Goodell, when Goodell came in and said, why are we not having Sunday night games? Why are we giving into the World Series? Do you know that when the NFL has their games on Sunday nights, for example, I believe down the road, the Dallas Cowboys play the New England Patriots, and it goes on a Sunday night, and it goes up against the Major League Baseball playoffs? Don't ask me what I think is going to get a better rating, because I don't think baseball fans would like that answer.
We've been talking with Eric Snyder. He is the author of a book on the Raiders and Raider Nation. You can also hear him on the Power Hour on Fox Sports 1340 with Paulie in Las Vegas. Boychuk, thank you so much. Good stuff.
Thank you, sir.
All right, we'll talk to you next week. And folks, you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook at John Daly Sports. We will catch you next time.
For more on John Daly, including his blog postings and instructional videos, go to informnotinflamed.com.